Okay, before we get started, does everybody have a piece of paper like this? If you don't, just raise your hand. And, okay, Brother Albert, does anybody have any extra ones? That's it? You need one? Okay. This is, you can take notes on this, you can make an airplane out of this, you can do anything you want with it, but it's just kind of a some things to help you through this, and from this morning tonight is what the Lord is dealing with His men about, and because they ask a question. And so if you have your Bibles, if you could turn to the book of Matthew chapter 24, and if you could stand in the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to look at the end of the world. Joyous, is it not? How great thou art. We're going to look at the end of the world. Something really encouraging today, but it's interesting. And I invite you back tonight because tonight we are going to go through a myriad of verses, and we'll have to go through it quickly. And that's why I gave you a piece of paper so you can kind of look at it and what's going on. You can write these things down, okay? Starting in verse 1, chapter 24. Verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you bless this portion of Scripture to our hearts. Help us to understand what is going on here. And let it encourage us. And don't let us live in fear, because that is not why you have come to save us, to live in fear. But to trust in you and believe you, and that we can have a very sound mind. And we thank you all because of Christ. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Now, I just want to begin by saying a couple things first. The disciples, when they've now left, they've all left Jerusalem. Jesus' public ministry is now done. And I believe they're going over to Bethany, and halfway over, you've got to go on the Mount of Olives that's right there, and they stopped to take a rest. And I'm sure, or just to teach what's going on, but they sit down on the side of the Mount of Olives, and you can look across the valley, and you can see the city, the walled city of Jerusalem. Today, when you look across, you see the Dome of the Rock and the Mosque of Omar. But then, on top of that, it wasn't that mosque or that dome, it was the temple. That beautiful temple, Herod's temple. Even though that Herod was a wicked man, he built, had built a beautiful temple. And so the Lord is dealing with his men, and so they ask him a question. Now, there's one thing that you do not find in this portion of Scripture, and what it is the rapture. Because remember, he's talking to Jews. You understand? He's talking to Jews about Jews. But that does not mean that there is not a rapture. So, I want to talk about that first, just as my introduction. So, take your Bibles and turn over to 2 Thessalonians. And the reason I am doing this is so that I can say everything else of what's going to come. And if you don't mind, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Now I beseech you, brethren, this is Paul. He's writing these epistles to the Thessalonians because they believe that they are in the midst of the tribulation, or they had missed the tribulation, and he wants to reassure them that everything is okay. All right. So he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you." There it is again, that deceiving. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Okay. Now, a couple things I want you to look at in this portion. Look in verse 7. It says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." In other words, the devil is still working, working, working. He's going to do what he can. But then it goes on to say, "Only he who now letteth," the word letteth means to hold down, seize, or restrain. Only he that restrains will now restrain, will now let. And it says, until he, the Holy Spirit, be taken out of the way. Okay? Now, what he's saying is that at this time, the Holy Spirit of God, who dwells within each born-again Christian, he is holding back the devil from being unrestrained and be able to just go out and do whatever he wants to do. He will not. There will be absolutely zero restraint with the devil himself. Zero. Please understand that. Right now, we like to think that he has restraint, or he is unrestrained. He is not unrestrained. Even though we see him all around, you have no idea how wicked and powerful the devil is. Okay? It's not you who are restraining, by the way. Don't think that well of yourself. It's he who lives within you. And I do pray that everyone in here has come to a point that he's not only seen himself as a sinner, but sees himself lost. Okay? Have repented of their sins and received the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, you now have what he's calling about as he who restrains. Okay? And he goes on to say, until he be taken out of the way. And then verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. In other words, when he comes, he is going to be God-like as far as the things that he can do. Okay? Now, verse 10, it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, who is this? Let me tell you who this is. These are people who have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, who have heard the gospel, and have said, not today. Maybe tomorrow. This is why the Lord says, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, because you don't know when he's going to call his saints out. And I'm going to say this probably a number of times this morning and tonight. There is no sign for that. Do you understand that? There is no sign for his calling out. He says, I'll come as a thief in the night. Okay? And so you're not going to know it. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. It could be next week. But it could be just in a moment. All right? Now let me go on and read the next verse. Now I pray that you get this. Verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now listen, these are people that you know right now, people in whom you love. These are people that have said, oh, tomorrow, next week, I'm just not ready. And maybe the Lord has dealt with them about their sin and just held it off. Here's what happens. The Lord comes in the clouds. He calls out his saints. Come up hither. Pow! Right over the Mount of Olives. And we're out of here, okay? Pow! Gone! Now, here's what happens. The people that are left behind who have heard the gospel, strong delusion comes upon them and they will not be saved. Do you understand that? There is no hope. This is what he just said. Can you say, can't be? That's what he said. It's what he said. Now, there's a lot of people out there that have not heard the gospel. Many, many, many. And he said, well, Pastor, you read that until everybody hears it. That's the end of the world. We're not talking about the end of the world. We're talking about the rapture of the saints. And this is why I'm dealing with this. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Go back one page. One page. Now, that is a very strong statement. However, I don't know how to make it stronger. And I wish I could. And I pray this, that God has put someone in your mind, in your heart, that you love. Who says, I don't want what you have. And you want them to have that. What is that? It's not what, it's who? Jesus Christ. Now look in chapter 4. Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4. Look in verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you. Now, when he says beseech you, brethren, what he's saying, he's begging you. He's shaking you and begging you, brethren, and exhorts you by the Lord Jesus that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandment gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. In other words, possess your possessions. Okay, I think it's an Old Testament. I want to say Nehemiah. He says, possess your possessions. Maybe Jeremiah. Anyway, we'll move on. And honor. Okay. Verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Concupiscence means to covet or to long for that which is forbidden. Okay. What that word means. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Brothers and sisters, we have to learn to love each other. Because there's probably people in... I have witnessed myself, not here... Church members have come in and I've kind of gone this way and I've noticed that all of a sudden somebody will go this way and I'll go this way and I'll notice that in the back they'll go that way. They're avoiding me because they're upset with me or upset with somebody else. I've seen it. If you haven't done it yourself, and it's sad. This is what he's talking about. Because the world, it doesn't know that we're real Christians unless we love each other. All right? Now let's move on. We'll do verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, there it again, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that are dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or have died in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we won't go before those people that have already died, okay? Will not be raptured out, translated, taken out of here, okay? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Now, you say, why are you getting louder? I don't think this is going to be a quiet time, okay? I think it's going to be pretty loud. And that's good for us who don't hear well. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wow, praise God. That's the rapture. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that beautiful? Okay. That is the rapture. That word prevent means to go before, come before. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but we see caught up and the word translated and all these things from back to Enoch. Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conversation, your life and your living be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I, God, will not leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, we were talking about in 2 Thessalonians that he which now letteth will let, in other words, hinder, restrain, until he be taken out of the way. That is the Holy Spirit. The hindering Holy Spirit. I read Hebrews to tell you that he will never leave me nor forsake me. So when he takes the Holy Spirit, we're going with him. You get the idea. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Well, I think it is. Amen. So when the restraining Holy Spirit goes, we're out of here like a shot. You know. Nice thing is, he'll give us a new set of clothes. And we have them, all right? Now, since he will not leave nor forsake, the born-again Holy Ghost possessing person is gone in the twinkling of an eye. Now, where do we get this? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. That mystery. It is a mystery. God is a mystery, is he not? God is a mystery. We shall not all sleep, in other words, die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The twinkling of an eye is this. It is the eye that when you look at something, from the time you look at it till it records in the brain, which is a nanosecond, that's a twinkling of an eye. All right? So it's not this, or it's not a bleep, it's not one of those. It's a, and you're out, okay? A nanosecond. Enoch was translated. Elijah went up in a fiery chariot. Now that would have been something to see. And I think that those two men are reserved. That's my own opinion. Other people have other opinions, and it has nothing to do with our salvation, okay? These are things that you can talk about and debate if you want to. And that's the beauty of talking about the Lord, because it doesn't do anything about our salvation, but it's just good stuff to talk about, all right? Now, have you ever noticed how fast things are coming? It just seems like, you know, for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years, things, you know, progress was very slow. But it just seems like in the last 200 years, things have really started going fast. But what about the last 10 years? You know, they're saying that, what do they call it, information or knowledge or something like that, it doubles every year or something, you know. That doesn't mean it makes you wise. You might know a lot of things and be, you know, dumb as a bag of hammers, you know. I mean, just as a, have you ever seen anybody break a hammer? When you think breaking a hammer, you think breaking a handle, right? I'm talking the metal part. I had a guy, a friend of mine, one day you meet him, he broke the hammer part, the steel. Bag of hammers. Dumb as a post, right? I don't care how much they know, but things are just amazing. You know, people always want new iPhones and stuff like that. And I resist the devil. I didn't want a telephone anyway, but at least I have just a flip phone. I know. My kids, you know, like, Dad, get into the 21st century, right? You need something. One day you'll come around. One day I may, but not yet. So here they are sitting on the side of the Mount of Olives. I went through all that, and now I want to get in to what we're dealing with. Now, we are going to be going to Daniel and Revelation a little bit today and a lot tonight. Okay? And if you can't keep up, that's why I gave you a piece of paper, and you can use a pencil and just write it down and I'll read it. All right? Is that good? And then you can look at it yourself. So let's go back to Matthew 24, and we'll start in verse 3, and we're going to look at something. I will try not to go over, but if you have to go to lunch, go ahead and go to lunch. And if not, the message will be over there. You can buy it for $25, okay? Each. So, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now, these guys are excited. They know who he is, and they expect him setting up the millennial reign, because they, last week we talked about this, that's why I set it up last week, that they understand, if anything, they were premillennialists, okay? They understood this stuff. They understood, they only thought of his one coming, even though it speaks of two comings, two advents, all right? Let's move on. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." Always deception. Who is the deceiver? The devil. Yeah. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows." That word sorrows means this: birth pangs, the birth throes. As a mother who is going to have a child, sometimes you have these not real contractions. You know, what do they call those? Not real contractions. False contractions. All right. And sometime during the you go, "Oh, I think it's going to happen." But then that's the last time it happened. But you know when it starts. You go, "Ooh." I remember I wasn't there for two of our children to be born, but I was there for one of them, and I was getting ready to go to work, and my wife is sitting there, and she's like, my wife, she was beautiful when she was pregnant. I'm telling you, she was gorgeous. I loved walking around with her. She was just, you know, there's something about pregnant women. They just love them. So anyway, she goes, and I see her doing this at the couch. "Are you all right?" "Fine. I'm fine." "You're gripping the couch. What's going on?" Nothing. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm good. And I said, okay, so I'm getting ready to go to work. And next thing you know, she's like digging her fingers again into the couch. And I went, oh my goodness. So I called up a friend of ours, another Navy wife. I said, Judy, you got to get down here. And she said, okay, I'll be down there right away. And so, and she comes down. And I said, sit with my wife. And I think something's happening here, you know. And those, it means birth pangs of the child birth, pain and travail and the contractions. And we're going to see a pattern because in the birth pangs by events that come in Scripture, okay? Because when it comes to birth pangs, they come in and they're timed way apart. And all of a sudden they get closer, right? And closer and closer and closer. And you start timing them, right? I remember one time I was Bible Baptist Church, and I was talking with a guy, and his wife was starting contractions. We were having a fellowship, and you see his wife, she's over there going, ugh, and she's sitting on a chair, and he's eating a piece of pie. And I said, brother, aren't you going to take her? He goes, she's still got time. Because they had a number of kids. I'm thinking like, really? I'm not done with my pie, you know? And I'm like, man, that's pretty cold, dude, you know. And he got done. He's finishing his coffee. He goes, oh, it's time. And so he puts his coffee down and they went off and had a child. And but you know, right? Things are starting to happen. There's certain signs and all this stuff. And this is what he's talking about. There's birth pangs of the coming of Messiah, his second coming. And so it comes in frequently, it is timed until, listen, it just, it's rapid fire, pow, 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 and next thing you know, it's lots of pain and lots of contractions. And I remember sitting there and I was, they had my wife hooked up to this little belt thing, and you could see the little, you know, go like this with her, and I went, whoa, look at that, you're having a contraction. She goes, no kidding, you know. And so I'm looking at the thing. I said, you know, you should be having a contraction right up. And there it goes. I said, you can time those things. It's amazing how the Lord has done all this stuff. And so in verse 13, he says, but he that shall endure unto the end, unto the end. That's the indicator, till the end, until this stuff starts coming. And that's why he talks in verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So he's talking about the end, the end, the end. And many people thought in 70 A.D. it was the end. And then 132 A.D. when Bar Kokhba came, he says, I'm the Messiah. And that's why the name to a Jew is anathema. They don't talk about that guy because he was a phony Messiah. And then in verse 15, he talks about when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. In other words, perceive what's going on and comprehend and think about what you're seeing. He's given you these signs so you know that he is coming. Now remember, Christians are gone. We have been raptured. We are not here. Right? Now, that's in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. And he's talking about a man named Antiochus Epiphanes. And that's why I wrote it on the bottom of your little, what would you call that? Graph, scale, or whatever it is. Antiochus Epiphanes. We'll explain a little bit more about that in the evening. Okay, what we're going to see, Antiochus Epiphanes was one of the four generals that Alexander had, and Antiochus Epiphanes was given this area, and what he had done was he set up idol worship in Solomon's temple and slaughtered a pig and scattered the blood around to consecrate in their way. And so he is the idea of the Antichrist in what you're going to look for in verse 15. Turn over to Daniel. Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. in verse 21, it says, "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person," the Antichrist, "to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries." In other words, he's going to come in peace and he is going to deceive people because he is a smooth talker. He is going to tell people what they want to hear. That's what a flatterer does. Okay? Look in verse 22. "And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant." The prince of the covenant. And we'll talk a little bit about the covenant a little bit later. Look in verse 32 of chapter 11. Verse 32, and we'll read down a little bit. "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now, when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them, understanding, shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all." You see who the Antichrist is. He is the devil. And the devil has always wanted to be like as God and even over him. And so when the Spirit of God is taken out and the Antichrist, the devil himself is given free rein, nothing is going to stop him. It is going to be a literal hell on earth. Okay? A hell on earth. People will get saved. People will get saved. And they won't last long, but they'll get saved. Because they talk about the martyrs and whatnot. Okay? Now, so these things are the beginning of this in this Olivet Discourse. This is called the Olivet Discourse. This is not the Sermon on the Mount. This is the end, the Olivet Discourse. And he's talking about the future and a signal for the end. It's crazy how much of this, it's amazing. We can actually see a lot of this stuff, how it can happen now. You know, 20 years ago, even 30 years ago, and many of you 50 years ago, 60 years ago, you'd think, how is this going to happen? But now we can see how it can all happen. So simple now. And how everything, this one world is trying to come together. And this is what our president is fighting, is this one world thinking. And that's what the other side, that's what progressivism is. A utopia on earth. You got that? That's what progressivism is. And they'll always refer back to the Soviet Union. And that was called a progressive government, even then. Today, people don't even know what that means. They say, well, they just want us to progress. No, that's not what it means. What they're talking about is this one world government, progressivism. Don't be fooled. Don't be what? Deceived. You got it? Don't be deceived. Now, and it just seems like things are speeding up. Not just time, things are speeding up. I mean, our technology is, you can't keep up with the stuff. I mean, it's incredible. But these things will begin kind of slowly. It begins with the seals. And when the seventh seal comes, the trumpets come. Of wrath is poured out. The seventh trumpet in Revelation 16, the seven vials of wrath poured out. Now here's what happens when you've got the, when you're up here, things, you just forget about things. When you have the seals, the trumpets, and the vials. When those seals start opening, it starts plugging along. And then the trumpets, and then the vials, they're like this. They come just bam, 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 right after another until they're starting to run together. This is what he's talking about, birth pangs, or the sorrows. You get it? Everything speeds up to where it just seems like it's all one time. And so, now in verse 4, back in Matthew 24, In Matthew 24, he says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." And that is really our first point. Deception. Deception. He says, take heed. That means be aware. Be aware of this. And perceive and regard this deception. Be alert to what is happening. People right now are trying to fool us into showing us something in whom they are not. Like they really care about you. They don't care about us. People, many people in control of Eisenhower, I read a book, and he's the one who coined the phrase of be careful of the corporations that deal with war materials. What do they call that? But you know what I'm talking about. He says these people will have us wanting to go to war time and time again because they're making money. They could care less of any of our best and finest who dies as long as they're making a buck. He says, watch out for them. Because they'll want to keep selling and selling because they're making trillions off the United States. Now, you might think that that's a conspiracy thing. No, he talked about it back in the 50s. Now, remember who Eisenhower was. He was a general. And he ran things in Europe, but he also understands what war is. And if there is no war being made, then they don't make money. Anybody watch the commissioning of the USS Gerald R. Ford yesterday? Yeah, I watched it. What a fabulous thing, you know. Brings back memories. I told my wife, man, I'm glad I'm not standing there. It is hot right now, and I wonder how many people have fallen out, passed out, you know. But it was cool. It was neat. I love that stuff. And so, I mean, that's $1-3 billion weapon, and it's huge. It's manned by thousands and thousands of people. You know, I don't mind if we have it, but what I really love is we never use it for what it's supposed to be used for. You know what I'm saying? And don't be deceived. In other words, don't be caused to roam from safety or get away from the truth. Don't stray from virtue. And is there deception today? Man, there is a lot of deception. There's always been deception. The Nicolaitans in Revelation, the Judaizers in Galatians. In verse 12, he talks, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In other words, that iniquity is lawlessness and wickedness. There was a time when people were ashamed of the things they did. And especially when they were found out, and today it's celebrated. There is no shame today with people. Aren't you embarrassed in the way you act? Or the way you've been... Why, what's... I'm bad to the bone. You're a knothead, you know? Can you imagine when the restrainer is taken away? Everybody will be deceived, or most everybody will be deceived to what is holy and righteous. I mean, you look at this country, how many young people today actually believe this country is the most evil country in the world? And it is not the most evil country in the world. This is the best country in the world. You know, we don't just go in and win wars and enslave people. We free people. I think about the war with Spain in 1898. That's why we got to know history. You have to know history. Churchill said, the further you look back, the further you can see forward and what not to do. And, you know, we went into, we defeated the Spanish, and we got Puerto Rico, and we got Cuba, Guam, and the Philippines. When they went to the Philippines, the Filipinos were starving to death. Starving. We went in there and we were trying to find food to try to make sure that these people were fed. First thing we did was try to set up so they could govern themselves for the time that we didn't have to be there. We invested money into that country. We always invest money into countries, into Japan. MacArthur, Truman asked him, "What do you need?" And the first thing came out of his mouth is 1,000 missionaries. 1,000 missionaries. That's true. You know why? Because they were ready to hear the gospel. They had been bombed back to the Stone Age. They were ready to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ because Shintoism didn't do it. But what did we send? Businessmen. This is going to be a world that is going to literally fall apart. Natural affection says it will wax cold. In other words, it evaporates. It's gone. It's gone. Luke 21:8 says, "Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not, therefore, after them." There's going to be a myriad of Christ. In Matthew 24 and verse 23, it says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Why is it not possible to deceive the very elect? We're gone. You get it? So, yeah, there's going to be people to be saved, but he's talking about us. We won't be able to be deceived because the born-again Christian will be translated or raptured out. You get it? I mean, they're good, and they're going to be all over the place, and they're going to show all kinds of stuff. And trust me, I have seen stuff. Weird stuff. I'm not going to talk about now, but weird. But the covenant between Israel, with Israel will be fooled. Turn back to Daniel chapter 9. Now, I won't be long. Daniel chapter 9. But I know you've heard that 100 times before. Look in verse 27. Chapter 9, verse 27. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." Now, I wrote down in your little thing what a week is. He's talking about spiritual weeks. The 70th week of Daniel is called different things, time for Jacob's troubles. I'm not going to go over it because you already have it. Okay. So verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, in the middle, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out, poured upon the desolate. In other words, halfway through, you've got a tribulation. You got the tribulation, and you got the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years. Right in the midst, this is when this guy stands up and he's going to make himself a god. Okay? He's going to make himself a god. And it's going to be in the temple that will exist at that time. Look in chapter 8 of Daniel in verse 23. And in the latter time of the kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences, and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up. Dark sentences. What he's talking about is, the Lord is waiting for a number of things to happen, but he is communion with devils and demons. He's a medium with evil spirits beneath. I mean, this is frightening stuff. Look at verse 24, chapter 8. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. That word wonderfully, in other words, it gives the idea of awe. Today, that word awesome. Oh, how you doing? Oh, I'm awesome. Really? You know what awesome means? Something that you stand in awe of. Awesome. And this is what this guy will be. He'll do things that are awesome. You will stand in awe. Look in verse 25. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. He uses peace. You know, today we want, how many people, they say, well, let's have just peace at any cost. No, then that's not peace. You're going to find yourself under tyranny in this kind of nonsense. And so he's negotiating with the world. And everybody wants to negotiate. Look at the last 20, 30 years of some of these idiotic negotiations that the United States has done. I mean, just dumb stuff. You have to pass the bill before you can read it. You know? When I heard that, I says, and everybody goes, yeah! I'm, really? That sounds right to you? Why don't you take an extra couple weeks and read the thing? We'll wait. Right? Well, I hope so. I can deal with that. I mean, that's just dumb. You know, giving hundreds of millions of dollars to an enemy in Iran, that was ransom. Now, I'm not trying to be political. What I'm saying is, some of this stuff is just, they're out of their minds. In Revelation chapter 6, and we'll get into this tonight, you'll see in verse 2, the rider of the white horse. He's going to be the devil. He's the devil. And he always imitates. He's trying to imitate Jesus Christ. That's all he can do. Because he's not original. All right? There's nothing about him original. He is a created being. Revelations 19:11, he says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. That's our Lord. But see, the devil just wants to be a copycat, an imitator. I hope you're still in 11. Daniel 11. Daniel 11, verse 36. verse 36, it says, "And the king shall do according to his will." That's the devil. "And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god," and on and on. And it goes down into, look at verse 38. "But in his estate shall he honor the god of forces, and a god whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain." So you see what's coming with all this stuff. The devil is just going to destroy this place. He is going to rule it in a terrible, terrible way. In Revelation 13, verse 4, the Lord speaks of him as a beast. Not a man, a beast. You'll see a man who speaks smooth things, but God calls him a beast. Revelations 13, 5, 6, and 7 speaks about how he'll speak great blasphemy and make war with the saints the last 3.5 years. He'll go and just try to wipe out as many as he can. And those that are saved in the tribulation, he'll destroy. And this world will believe that this beast is the Messiah. Verses 8 through 18, you see the false prophet come on. And Revelations 12, 9, it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." So what the Lord is saying here, he says, don't be deceived. I said all of that to say, don't be deceived. God has given us a mind. And I mentioned this morning in Sunday school about the difference between thinking and feeling. It's different. God wants us to think, not feel. I feel. And that's why you always hear these say, "Well, tell me, what do you feel about this? Give me your reaction. Why don't you think about this and give me your response?" That's how it should be said. So, it can be frightening tonight. I will have to go quickly through it because there's a lot of verses. But it's interesting stuff because then you're going to start seeing these things happen. And you can see it in your head how it can happen. Because we just live in that time. So, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." You know, we might even know who he is today, but he will not be revealed. And I don't even know if he'll be revealed to us, because you know what? He says he won't be revealed until he be taken out of the way. He lives within us, and I pray that everyone in this room today knows Jesus Christ as your Savior, and do not be deceived. Don't let your pride get in the way of salvation. Please don't do that, because the devil is the most proud of all. Don't let that happen to you. Please don't. It could mean the salvation of your entire family.